Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man for episode 22. We got a good show planned. We are going to talk some more about faith and about Lot. We're going to talk some football, and we're going to talk some Tigers, and we're going to talk a little more about this national anthem thing. We got a great video we're going to play later. Now, first, I'm going to tell you about where we're at. We are at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road, Midland, 1711 South Saginaw Road. We are across the street from a Kmart. We're just to the north of an Admiral gas station and to the south of it's called Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. If you want to come and see us, we are in the back of McDonald's dining room near the bathrooms, and we can talk to you here. We'd love to talk to you. Now, if you're not in the area and you want to talk to us, you can call this number. This number is 215-383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. And remember, it is always a smart idea to listen to this program using your smartphone. You got an iPhone, you got an Android, you got whatever smartphone you got. What you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com and you search The Preacher and the Miracle Man, and then you hit that subscribe button, and you'll be notified anytime we're going to do a show. And it's a great thing, so you can follow us. And we have all the shows archived, all the episodes, so you can listen to them at home. If you got your smartphone hooked up to your car, you can listen to them in the car. You can listen to them at work where you're on your computer if your boss lets you. It's an amazing thing, but because they're archived, you can listen to them on the go. So it's a great thing. Now that we've done all these little announcements, we are going to go to a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for this show. I thank you, Lord God, for this great day, Lord God. Thank you that you bless us. You bless the listeners of the show. I thank you that you're blessing me. Show me what I should say, what you would have me say today as we continue to go through your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you just be with us, that you would have your way in the show. Thank you, Lord God, for this great equipment coming, that the finances to cover it. I thank you, Lord God, that you, your hand is upon the show. And I thank you, Lord God, that the audience is going to really begin to grow. And I just give you praise and honor for that. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the thing about the sponsorship thing. Any business, if you're a business, if you're a person and you want to sponsor the show, you can call or email either me, who is the Miracle Man, or the Preacher Man. You can email me at riversukla@gmail.com, riversukla@gmail.com, or you can email the Preacher Man and your address is Preacher Man?
He went to the thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have him give that in a bit. But first of all, we are going to open the wonderful word. And we're going to continue reading about faith. Faith is awesome. It's great, and we all need more of it. All of us need more. So it's a really great, awesome thing. We're gonna read these same faith verses. Then we're gonna continue our reading through Genesis. And we're gonna find out what happened to Sodom. So, with that, Hebrews 11. And listeners, just so you don't get confused, this is not just my show. When I open the Bible, if you're listening and you got a Bible with you, open it and read it. If I, for some reason, start singing the spiritual song, you sing with me. And that's the way we do this. This is not just the River Shukla show. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man show, and we want you to participate in what we're doing, if we're reading, when we're reading the Bible and what have you. So, without further ado, here we go. And we start with this. Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, the certainty of what we do not yet see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards these who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Folks, he didn't do this because he was panicking. He was afraid. Oh no, there's a flood coming. What do I do now? What do I do? No. He did it out of wisdom. He did it with faith and wisdom. He knew danger was coming. He was warned by God when the flood was going to come, so he could best prepare.
You remember Carmen's song about that, don't you?
What song is this?
He said that Noah was sitting on his front porch eating lasagna he cooked with a torch, and God spoke.
Or it could have been outside eating some McDonald's, some of America's favorite fries, and drinking his choice of a Coke or Dr. Pepper. I honestly think he chose a Coke. And I think he was eating his filet of fish sandwich with his disciples. It might have been a double filet of fish. I don't know.
We're
mixed with the white bread. Okay, enough of that. It's not commercial time, so I'm still reading the Bible.
Oh, go ahead.
The commercial will be in a bit to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed, and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going to go. I mean, where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him, with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah, perhaps, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, to this one man, and he, as good as dead, he came, this descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and he was as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance. In other words, they knew these things were coming in the supernatural, even though they might have not happened in the natural. So like someone dies from cancer or heart attack, they see themselves. They'll say, in the name of Jesus, I call the healing, my manifestation. I call my body to line up to your word.
Amen.
Now, they may have had the heart attack or the cancer. The heart attack or the cancer may have taken their natural life. But when they got to heaven, they got a new body and they were healed. And they admitted that the middle of verse 13, and they admitted that they were allies and strangers on earth. 14, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'm so glad God's preparing a city for us. The Bible talks about how we're going to meet. It says we're going to meet in the golden city in a new Jerusalem. And you know what's going to happen there? All our pain and all our tears. No more. I was just thinking of a song, and it's been a while since we've really sung on this show. So I was thinking of this song, these chorus that we, soon your trials will be over. And in this reading life, we have passed the time for waiting. Send a million of God. We will meet in the golden city in the new Jerusalem. All our pain and all our tears will be no more. We will stand in the host of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
You know, that song is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I remember at our church, we used to sing that. We used to sing that back around time of the new millennium. And it was so fitting at the time because, you know, I knew what was going to happen, but I kind of knew what was going to happen. I kind of knew we were still going to be around on Earth. I didn't think that the world was just going to end right there. But it was a sign of assurance that we would be with the Lord in heaven if it actually did end. Even though the Bible tells us, you know, that we would have had to have the tribulation and things like that first. Because, and which to me means maybe the tribulation could have started at the start of the millennium. No, it didn't, but, you know, it could have.
Some people think it.
But in a way, do you kind of doubt it even could have, preacher? Because too many people were expecting it?
Well, right. Because no man knows the day or the hour.
So maybe that could be why it didn't happen then.
I would say most certainly.
It's
like the guy that writes the book every year. 2017 reasons why God's going to come in 2017.
He wrote one this year?
He writes one every year.
Are you kidding me?
He makes $1 million every year.
He wrote in 1984. The big one was 88, I believe.
He adds one on every year.
I thought the big one was 88.
Listen, I was a kid in 77. And I remember riding the bus because somebody wrote a book. 77 reasons why he's coming in 77. And I was on the school bus, freaked right out, man. When I got home, first thing I did is look for my mom, because if she was still there, everything was going to be all right.
But Bible says
and
that.
And she was still there, by the way. We didn't miss it.
Oh, good. But, folks, this faith stuff is so great. It's so important. And I still think about all the times, you know, that we were basically, that pastor has told us, he's told us from the pulpit several different times now, you know, he was in, basically, you know, Kenneth Copeland, among others, told me that I would have to teach about, that I would have to, eventually, we would have to reteach faith. I think we're having to do that kind of now.
I think we're there, man.
And by we, I don't just mean you and I in the show. I'm talking in the church.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody.
Because if you look at a lot of the, if you look at a list of the messages that have been taught at Living Word,
mm-hmm.
many of them, even the ones that Dr. Barclay has not preached, have been centered on faith. Because of where we are right now. We are in a case right now where faith is basically the rule. And faith, and it is so important right now that we have faith.
Without faith, you can't please him.
Without faith, we can't please him.
With faith, you can please
him. How are you gonna please him? How are you gonna do what's right? How are you gonna live right, and live the way the Bible wants you to live? If you do not have faith in God, the Bible tells us very specific: have faith in God. If we don't have faith in God, what are we doing this for?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if I don't have faith in God, what am I doing?
What did Paul say? I'm a man most miserable.
Very miserable without no faith, you pretty much don't have a reason to live. You're not going to have faith in God.
Yeah.
I'd just soon die if I didn't know, you know. No, I'm not suicidal, but at all. But I will say this. Faith is still very important, and without faith in God, it'd be a lot easier to become that way. But you know, like I said, this faith stuff is very important.
Can I give you another one of my favorite faith verses?
Go ahead. And if you want to read the passage, go on and do it.
I will do it. Watch this. 1 John. This is another one of those great faith verses. 1 John.
Hey, 1 John happens to be in this book of mine.
5.
Happens to be in this book of mine, actually. 1 John does. So it's 5 verse.
Let's see. Nope, 4.
It's 4 verses what to what?
Oh my, Rivers, I don't have it underlined in this Bible. That's not cool, is it?
Yeah, because I was starting to look too.
It's 1 John 4. That's the one that says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they're of God. And then it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And then it goes down here. Oh, where's it in here? Anyways, it says, and we know that if he hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask.
Yeah, not to me. We need to put that back in. But,
Here it is. 5:14. I got it right now. 13 says, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God. What's that? That's Jesus.
Amen.
That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. This is how confident our faith can be. That we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. It's that same thing. You believe God exists, and you believe that he will reward you if you diligently seek him.
You've got to believe it.
And when you do, you got faith. People try to make faith something so complicated, and it really isn't that complicated. Jesus told the disciples over and over, you need more faith? They'd say, man, increase our faith. He'd say, well, speak to the mountain.
When
you speak to that mountain, you get faith.
Amen.
I say,
become.
Come.
Come now.
Now.
Money for equipment? Come.
Now.
Now. You speak, but it also says, you know, that to the mountains that we have to deal with, that we tell them to get out of the way,
right.
To get out of our way. And we're not talking, you know, mountains. We're not talking about, you know, Lookout Mountain.
Appalachians.
We're not talking Lookout. We're not talking Lookout Mountain of Chattanooga. We're not talking about mountains like Signal Mountain even. None of that. We're talking mountains of life.
Yeah.
The mountains that try to... We're talking about mountains that try to come up against us all the time. And they shall draw powerless.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, we're going to Genesis 19. We're gonna see about what happened with Sodom.
All right. sounds like a plan, if you ask me.
Yep, we're gonna see what happens. We're gonna find out if it had enough righteous people. So that it wouldn't get destroyed. Let's see. Now
Abraham got God clear down to 10, right?
Yep. Now the two angels arrived at Sodom.
What chapter?
It's Genesis 19. And as I was saying earlier, if you're listening to the show, if we're reading the Word, you open the Word and study with us.
Amen.
This is not just the Me Show, the Me, My Four, and No More Show. Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels, they arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them, and he bowed down with his face down to the ground. My lords, he said, to please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, and you can spend the night, and then you can go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night here in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him, and they entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all of the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, they surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Don't worry, folks. This is basically one of the only times you'll hear this on this program. You have no worries. This really is meant to be a family show.
Yep. The Bible.
Lot outside, and I just like clarifying, you know, because we're on the air, you know. Lot,
amen, brother.
Lot went outside to meet them, and he shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friend."
Hold on.
What was that all about?
Just going over here. I got it.
Before him, and he said, "No, my friends. Do not do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But do not do anything to these men, for they have come upon the protection of my roof. Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This foe came here as an ally. And now he wants to play the judge. We will treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot, and they moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out, and they pulled Lot back into the house, and they shut the door. Then they struck men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here." because we are going to destroy this place.
Wow.
The outcry to the Lord of people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. And he said, hurry. He said, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you got a few days. Just let's just plan a trip to Cedar Point. Let's go ride all the rides. You want to? Don't you wish it said that, Annie? Don't you wish it said that? Don't you wish?
She had to step out for a minute. She got a phone call.
Oh, if only it said that.
That's right.
He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. He wasn't. He was not joking. He was very serious. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand with the hands of his wife and with his two daughters, and they led them safely out of the city, with the Lord was merciful to him. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Do not look back and do not stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my lords. Please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I cannot flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, near the town, near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well. I will grant this request also. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. So flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, for the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew their cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife, looking back, and she became a pillar of salt. Sister Salt.
Sister Salt.
Early the next morning, Abraham, he got and he returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all of the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace.
Yep.
So when God destroyed the cities of the flame, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of that catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Now we're going to finish this chapter, and we're going to be talking about Lot and his daughters to find out how many made it. We know what Sister Salt didn't. She died.
She did not make it.
Sister Salt didn't make it.
No, she didn't.
Lot and his two daughters left Zor, and they settled in the mountains. For he was afraid to stay in Zor. He and his two daughters, they lived in a cave. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us. Is the custom all over the earth? Let us get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night, they got their father to drink some wine, and the older daughter sat in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine ever tonight, and you go in and lie with him so that we can preserve our family line through our father." Got their father to drink wine that night. And the younger daughter went and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters, they became pregnant to their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son, and he named him Ben-Ami, and the father of the Ammonites of today. So, folks, as we find out, Lot's family had eight people. Only Lot and his daughters made it. And there was all these people. Sister Salt sure didn't make it because she looked back. You can't look back. You can't look back when the rapture happens. When the rapture happens, folks, you look back, you're going to be forgotten. Then you're going to have to make a choice very quickly. You don't have much time. You're going to make a choice. And it will be this. Outside, there's going to be people outside going after Christians. And you're going to have to face them. And here's going to be the choice. You're going to deny Jesus and go to hell? Or are you going to confess Jesus as Lord? Are you going to confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right there and die for him? I'll take the bullet. I take the bullet gladly if I miss the rapture. But I don't plan to miss the rapture. I'm doing everything I know to do so I don't have to face this choice. Now I know what choice to make, but I don't want to have to face it. I choose to be taken up with him in the clouds.
Best roller coaster ride you ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better. It's better than any Magnum XL or Top Thrill. Yeah, but I want that girl to talk to me while we're on it. I want her to talk to me while we're on it.
Is that right?
Yes. I do.
Who is this cute girl?
I'm just dreaming big.
Oh, okay.
Cute girl has a sweet voice.
Okay. The bumbly voice?
Maybe it's a voice like yours, too. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? I'm just telling it like it is. That might be a version of the voice. You have a version of the voice,
okay.
But you don't have the bumblebee voice.
All right.
The voice. But who knows? You know? That only to say, you know, folks, we all love teasing, you know, and stuff. But honestly, this is some serious stuff. This rapture business is serious stuff. And you got to be ready. And these people who say, oh, by the way, I don't believe in the rapture. Rapture may not necessarily be in your Bible, but it's what's going to happen. All this whole idea of caught up together with him in the clouds, that means rapture. It means you're raptured. You were taken up with our great Lord Jesus. And we'll be with him together, with our great spiritual bodies.
Perfect. We'll all be Superman up there.
And we can live with God and great bliss. I mean harmony. We can worship God together, and we can have all the sweets we want, and everything else. I always thought we'd have really soft, comfy beds in heaven, but in heaven we won't sleep.
I don't plan on sleeping when I get there.
Yeah, but I want a nice big couch.
A big, big couch with lots and lots of cushions.
Nice big one. Nice big ones too. And we can
remember
sit,
that song.
And we can sit with all our favorite people. All our favorite people. All my favorite people from Plymouth. All my favorite. You know, people from the earth. Some people from Detroit, maybe from the South, from you know, where we got to meet, and you, of course, you'll have all your favorite people. I hope.
I hope so too.
Whoever your favorite people.
I plan on having a mess of people up there.
Oh
all
yeah.
Of my favorites.
All in your mansion. Because he said he's gonna have our mansion.
We're gonna have a whole row of mansions. People will be like, "Don't go over there. Them are some crazy folks over there."
Folks, this is real. None of this is going to work unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Lay it out there, man.
None of this is going to work unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you can't do that, none of this faith stuff is going to work. None of it. And unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the tribulation happens, you will not be saved. You won't be. No. I'm going to talk about the anthem, but before we do that, I want to read that video.
We need to read this one, too. All right. Can we?
Yes.
All right. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's about the rapture. You got that one with you?
No.
All right.
I don't know.
Let's see. Where'd it go? There it is. 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So we're supposed to get the sorrow out. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a comfort, not a judgment.
Now, Pastor used to tease and say, therefore, torment one another.
Yeah, I know, but don't do that.
Because then it'll be, oh no, he's coming. No, it's a comfort to know that he's coming.
Time for a commercial.
Now, folks, when you're at McDonald's, when you're hungry, you're driving through town, you know, you're looking for a quick bite to eat. If you're around town like this, you'll find some Burger Kings, you'll see your Wendy's, Harvey's, you'll see a Taco Bell, Subway, here and there. Might be eating kind of fresh, but not. You got McDonald's, and we're loving it.
We're loving it.
And you got a choice of yours. Do you want those wannabe steak fries from Burger King? Do you want those shoestring fries from Wendy's that are kind of just kind of your average Joe? Or do you want the or do you want America's favorite fries that actually stand out and have that combined of crispiness and that salt that leaves little marks on your lips?
Yeah.
Because of how great those fries really are, and that really makes them so great. Folks, make sure to run through McDonald's today and grab yourself some of America's favorite fries and America's favorite soft drink, Coca-Cola. Or Dr. Pepper, if you choose. I always say my Coca-Cola, is so much better than Preacher Man's Dr. Pepper.
My Dr. Pepper has 23 flavors. Amazing flavors.
Well, I agree. Whereas mine has like four.
Boring.
Dr. Pepper is still good, but I prefer the certain taste that the Coke has to it. I can't describe what it is yet, but there's just something about it, something original about it that I just go when I taste it. And folks, while you're there, make sure to grab either some Delectable McNuggets, melty cheeseburger, or a nice McChicken with some mayo and lettuce on it.
Uh-huh.
So that'll hit the spot. So remember, loving it.
I'm loving it.
Now, folks, I'm going to talk to you about, give a bit of an update on this national anthem thing. Before we do that, Preacher Man has a video from YouTube that he wants to play. Also, Preacher Man, if we have that video ready to go, please.
Here we go. This is Paul Harvey. If you don't know him, get your history books and study. He's one of the greatest orators of 1900s. Here we go. Talking about the Star Spangled Banner.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners. They said, we want to send a man out to discuss this with you. They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, we want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if he can make a mutual exchange. On the appointed day, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of Kennedy men. And he said, men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free. He said, tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies. He said, you'll be taken out of this boat, out of spilt, out of your chains. As he went back up on board to arrange for their pass to the shore, the admiral came and he said, we have a slight problem. He said, we will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it will be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter. And Francis Scott Key said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. They said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. He said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And he said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no leaves. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said, remember what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all the people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The Admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on Lampard to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely not destroyed in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. But the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. What he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when it had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on ground. Although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at an unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet lie and wave o'er land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded, the price was paid. Oh, say, can you see by the what so proudly we did at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the red hearts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh,
yeah.
Say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, say,
And we wonder about people who won't stand and put their hand over their heart.
Yep, because that's true solidarity. Is, you know what's true solidarity, people? True solidarity is when people are standing in unison with their hands over their hearts, with their right hands over their heart when the national anthem is playing. That is true solidarity. Nobody's standing in a position in honor of our great flag. Whether you're doing the pledge or the national anthem. Now at our church, now my church, where I go to church, and where he goes to church too, Living Word, every service, we start with either the Pledge of Allegiance on Thursday night and Sunday night, and the national anthem on Sunday morning. We either start with one or the other. And what we choose to do is when either the anthem or the pledge, standing up. And if it's the pledge, we're all pledging together. That I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now they're trying to they've been trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. This was even 15 years ago in California. They were trying to do this. Thankfully, so far they failed. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
They're going to keep trying to do that, and I believe they're going to keep failing because you can't take God out of the pledge. You cannot take God out of our. You won't be able to take God out of our money. You won't be able to take any of this. Now, let me give an update on last night before I get into the football of what's coming up this week and the Tigers and as well as some these things that I think are going to happen.
Does that include Monday Night Football?
Last night, Monday Night Football, the Cowboys did kneel. However, they kneeled before the national anthem, and it was many of them, while they were kneeling, they were praying.
Oh, that's interesting.
They were actually kneeling in prayer before the national anthem, like carrying prayer on the field.
That's awesome.
Yep, I wish they'd do that more. And now it's so great. It is so great. I was so proud of those Cowboys. I was so proud of what Jerry said, and he told them that none of my players will be kneeling during the anthem. My players will be standing during the anthem. Now, don't get me wrong. The players have the right. I mean, it is a free country, so they can kneel if they want. That doesn't mean that it's the best decision, you know, because you got all these people who died for our country. They died by that flag. That's the big problem.
Yes.
Now if you're black and you're upset about how you've been treated, or if you're a white person who's been upset about how blacks have been treated, go talk to your senators.
Yeah.
Go talk to them. Go let them know areas in this country that we can work at to make it better for black. We do have areas. We really do. But kneeling during the national anthem isn't necessarily the best way to get that done. That kneel doesn't say anything to those senators and
nope.
stuff, you know. What? And so, you know, you can take it as an assault if you want, but that's the way I see it. Now, like I said last night, they were none of them. In fact, the Cardinals fans were really booing as the Cowboys were on the field kneeling,
really?
Someone praying. Maybe because I feel like a lot of them thought they were going to kneel through the whole national anthem.
Right.
I wonder if that's why they were
right.
booing.
Probably so.
Because, and then now, with that, we now switch gears to da 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 da. And last night you had your Monday Night Football. You have Cowboys versus Cardinals in Arizona on Monday night. You know, 6:30 Arizona time, and at first it looks like it's gonna be a big one for Arizona. It's 7-0. Cowboys can't move the ball. Cowboys can't do nothing. Arizona is getting everything. They got the big time lead in possession, and then late in the second quarter that changes. Cowboys get a touchdown. Then third and fourth quarter, the Cardinals are able to get some things done, but second half belonged pretty well to the Cowboys as they outscored their opponents 21-10
wow.
in the second half. 21-10.
Wow.
Cowboys 21 and Cardinals 10. So it really flipped. And after all, let's face it. I do love the quote-unquote America team, and I love those jokes that they say about how God created Alabama so God could have his place to play his favorite game. And they say that. So that's part of why I love the South, because well, it really is my favorite sport. I'm sorry, basketball fans and hockey fans, but I love your stuff too. But football's my favorite. Football's my favorite to cover. Football's my favorite to watch. I probably spend more time on it. Maybe than baseball, but I probably spend more time on it. Honestly, you know, with these games and stuff. But to say this, you know, good games. Cowboys have really improved since last year when they made Prescott the quarterback after Romo got injured. Really smart moves on their part. And I feel like the Cowboys are doing some great things. You know, the Ezekiel Elliott thing, we're not going to delve into that. We don't know if he did it. It hasn't been proven whether he did anything or not, but the suspension. First, I want to find out whether he did anything or not. If he did it, he should sit and serve a suspension. If he didn't, well then, he should have his charges dismissed and have to sit out. But it is as it is. So now we're gonna do something a little bit different, and we're gonna talk a little Red Wings hockey. Last night the Red Wings beat the Pittsburgh Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins at Little Caesars Arena by a score of 4-3. It's a preseason game, so that doesn't matter as much, but hey, hey, folks, next week, you start the regular season at Little Caesars Arena. The Red Wings start the regular season at Little Caesars Arena as they're going to take the Minnesota Wild for their first game. And you'll be able to hear the game on 790 WSGW, as well as on other great Red Wing affiliates, and you watch it on TV. I'm really excited for that new arena.
Yeah.
I really am. I was very sad that they didn't have more tickets for that few days. That really saddened me a lot. But sure, I'll be there some point. I'm really excited to see what that place has in store. And now I'm going to do something else that's a little different and kind of say my farewells to the Palace. I meant to do this last night, Sam, but I forgot.
That's awesome.
I'm doing it tonight because I did it last night. Palace, Roman Hills, had its last event on Saturday with a sold-out Bob Z concert.
Yeah.
I was in that building for the very last time on February 10th of this year.
You didn't go to the concert?
No. I was there for a Pistons game. That was the only times I had ever been there was for Pistons games. In 2004, 2008, 2009, 2016, 2017. Five times I was in the arena. And it was a great event. I loved it. It still felt in good shape to me when I was there.
Yeah.
And then I was feeling sad that they were going to close it. And now the day has closed. The day has come that I have to say goodbye to the Palace. Folks, let's talk about the impact of the Palace. The Palace did a lot. The Palace really helped spur some great developments. I think a key thing that helped with was the Great Lakes Crossing Mall outlet shop mall that was built and then opened about 10 years later. And the Palace helped with that, as well as you had Auburn Hills that was being built up. But the Palace kind of helped because you're on the highway, you'd go by. If you're going from a pier, you'd see the mall, and then you'd see the Palace. The mall is still doing really good and stuff, but Palace ain't there no more. So that could hurt a little bit on some of your concert or game nights, where people won't be going to the restaurant right before the game. But I think they'll do fine without it. But I'm sure they'll be missing them. I know one thing. We're going to go to the game from my parents' house. Now it's going to be a bit longer than what it would have been if it was going to the Palace.
Yep.
And unfortunately, more parking too, because the city of Detroit doesn't want to have a parking fee ordinance.
Really?
I think cities need to have a parking fee ordinance.
Got to.
Yeah, because some places they can charge like $30-$40 to park.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the deal. I'd rather pay $10 for a pop than deal with that nonsense.
Yeah.
And seriously, don't you agree?
Well, yeah, I went to New York City, drove my car, and so when we all got to town, we're like, what are we going to do first? First thing we're going to do is get a Starbucks, right? That's a good thing to do. Pulled in, got to Starbucks, came back out, got in the car, and guess what?
What?
Had a parking ticket. You know what the parking ticket was?
What?
$125.
I Uber everywhere.
Lord have mercy. I went to the little store, and I'm like, dude, I'm parked in the right spot. He goes, mister, if you don't go out there, you'll get another one.
Parking needs to be considered a human right in my mind. It needs to be considered a human right. because it's really getting so ridiculous what they're doing to us in these cities.
And they know they got you.
I think it needs to become a human right. And it's important to, like if you're in a place without transit, it's like part of, like, I'm not going to say your welfare, but like how you get around, you know, and stuff. I'm not saying making a human right, human right would make it free, but it might make it. I think if they value it as a human right, they might pay more attention to what they're charging, because, you know, because if places aren't charging to use the bathroom, in one way, I kind of think that parking everywhere should just be in free.
Yeah, it just won't work.
Why?
Too many people don't care. They won't respect it. Make a mess.
What do you mean they'll make a mess if they make parking just all free again?
Well, then anybody parks anywhere. And there's a whole lot of people who don't care about how they park.
What I mean by free is they'll still have designated lots, but they'll be free to park in.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of freeloaders.
You're designating them, though. Someone's got to get paid.
But they put it on the parking?
Like, usually have people, if it's a really busy place, have people showing you where to park and how to park. If it's a really busy lot. Unless it's like a parking garage.
I think some of these garages.
Interesting conversation we're having. We'll have to do a whole show about it.
I think some of these garages in the city should look at going either free or like.
Some of them are.
Or literally $4 per so many hours.
Yeah.
It's time to get way down on some of what they're trying.
How much does it cost to park at the Loons game?
That's like five. That's like four or five. So I think this thing at these arenas, they should be like 10. And 20 bucks to park at Cedar Point, that would be the one thing that would make me want the Platinum Pass.
It worked good, too. I did it once.
You got a Platinum Pass?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you go?
Just once.
Then why did you get a Platinum Pass?
Just because I did. I was going to go more and never did.
That's you could have gave me the pass.
Yep.
You would have given me the pass, then it would have been like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. I got you. You know what I mean? Because then it'd be like you took one and then you gave one. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because then it's not a pass but a trip. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you got a free pass. Because I like how it comes with the free parking. I think they should have a season one just for that park with the parking option.
There you go.
Because $20 to park at that place, you're being ridiculous.
Well, and you're parking out in the back 40 too. Walking half a mile to get there.
I'd rather put that money into two meals.
Yeah.
I'd rather put that money into the meals.
They'd rather put your money into a new ride. Next thing you know, they'll have one built right out in the water.
The tickets, I'm fine with. The meals, I'm fine with them. That. I just think they should look at the $20 thing. Park your car.
All right. Well, we'll call Cedar Point and get them on. We'll have a show with them.
Oh, we'll see. But, back to sports. Now. Tigers. Tigers, last night, did not play. This week, first, you have a series, three-game series, in Kansas City with the Royals. Tigers lost seven in a row, bottom of the division. Kansas City missing the playoffs. But I hope we can win at least one of the three games. We have at least two of the three games even. Sanchez is tonight, and he's done good at times, so I think we could possibly snap one tonight from him. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to look at. And who is available to replace Osmus?
And?
I don't know right now. So, with that in mind, folks, God first, God always, and good night, everybody. What? You snuck it out of me. Whoop.
All right. Hold on. Remember, still on. Well, that's it. See you again next time.
Miracle Man.